going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Top Shelf Sports Talk. You're hanging out in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
The Bills were actually my first formal meeting at the Combine, and I think it went great. And then I had a top 30 visit with them, and man, I was blown away. Like, I enjoyed every second of that. Every coach, my position coach, the DC, the head coach, the GM, like, man, I got along with everybody, and it just felt like home. And I'm so excited that really made it happen.
What do you bring to the table?
I bring juice. I bring being a good teammate. I bring leadership, and I'm going to bring Josh Allen the ball back.
There's Max Hairston, the newest Buffalo Bill selected with the 30th pick in last night's NFL draft. We welcome in Thad Brown from News 8 Sports. Your immediate reaction to the pick, Thad. Welcome in.
Hey, guys. How you doing, man? That was a good pick. You know, right off the bat, the Bills, if you want to, like, lay out their needs, I don't think anything ranked higher than finding that other corner to start opposite Christian Benford. And as much as I like Trey White and Dane Jackson, I've been general fans of both those guys over their careers and still now, you wanted someone else to be the potential long-term option. So, A, you check that box. And then, B, Brandon Bean has talked for the last few years about trying to find speed, talking about the offense and receiver. But in the secondary, too, I mean, this is not a dimension the Bills have pretty much had. So right off the bat, you hit two big, you know, open areas where the Bills have been trying to fill, at least this year, if not longer. So I like the pick. Now, look, I'm sure you guys have talked about the concerns, you know, he's not a super run defender. He's not very big. I know Brandon Bean yesterday talked about, well, he's already put 10 pounds on. And you know, I'll tell you what, man, when you spend a first-round pick on a guy and already you're like, yeah, I thought he was worth a high asset, but we're going to change his body composition like right now, you know there's a concern about his size and whether he can hold up. But, you know, look, as Brandon Bean pointed out yesterday, if there wasn't that concern with Max Hairston, he goes in the top 10. You know, the rest of the stuff that comes with him is really that good.
Yeah, I mean, and we're also discussing, all right, in games that you're really going to need big plays, Cincinnati, Kansas City, teams that can throw the ball. You really don't have to worry now, at least from the speed element, that this kid is actually going to be able to stick with some of these receivers, correct?
No, I mean, you know, being able to run a 40 straight ahead is a little different than covering the best of the best, but obviously having a dimension is a big, big part of it. You know, the other part of it to me was, you know, two things. Number one, I thought the disaster scenario for the Bills would have been coming out of this draft without one of these top corners. And if you didn't take one last night, there's a decent chance that there's a run on these guys earlier today, first half of round two, and now you're stuck. You know, and now by taking Hairston, you don't have to worry about that. And the other thing, too, is, you think about the Bills' first-round picks the last couple of years, they, for the most part, have been bigger swings. You know, Kyer Elam, an elite talent, maybe didn't fit, but a guy who was a measurables guy. Dalton Kincaid, a potential, you know, huge weapon at tight end. And so far, you know, both those picks are big swings and misses. Hairston, to me, feels more like a solid line drive, you know, a gapper, single-double-type guy, to where I don't think the swing and miss possibility is as high, but I'm not sure how often or how easily you can get a home run out of this guy.
Thad Brown, News 8 Sports, joining us in the sports bar. It's Danger and Battaglia on the Fan Rochester. Thad, the Bills right now scheduled to have two picks in the second round, 56 and 62. No picks in the third round. So my question is, do you expect them to stay where they are? Can we see some movement out of Brandon Bean here to maybe move up in the second round or maybe find himself in the third round at some point?
I think today is very much the wheelhouse for a Bills trade. And as much as it could have happened last night, and there are arguments for it, this draft is generally seen as pretty deep, rounds 2 and 3. So if the Bills stay today in round 2, want to move up to grab, you know, an edge rusher, you know, maybe a guy like Mike Green, who I still think has, you know, a pretty high upside, if he starts to fall a little further. Donovan Azaroko is another edge rusher that kind of fits the Bills' mold. You know, with these linemen that are going to be available today, in large part, it's going to be about what's your flavor, what works for you. And if the Bills feel like there's a guy that they want to go up and make sure they get, or if someone's slipping, I can see a round 2 trade. But even round 3, too, you know, you want to get back into that sweet spot area, you know, go up from pick 109 to the 90s, the 80s, because with all the 5th and 6th round ammunition the Bills have, you know, you can take any two of those 5th and 6th round picks and bounce from 109 into, you know, a 95, 90 area. You know, maybe you grab a receiver that might fall a little bit. There's a nice glut of guys that are expected to go early in round number 3. Someone like that slides to 85 or 90. You know, the Bills have the ammunition to go up. So, yeah, I would be stunned if the Bills make two picks at 56 and 62, and that's it today. I just don't see that as a possibility at all.
At what point, Thad Brown, News 8 Sports Director, joining us, we know the Bills have an issue at defensive tackle with the two players, Ogunjobi and Hoyt, looking at a suspension, and Brandon Bean said, no, that's not going to, you know, change our plan, but could you see the Bills actually waiting until tomorrow to address that? I mean, your thoughts on the need at that position specifically, Thad?
So I don't know if the need is ridiculously great because of the suspensions. To me, the need has always been you want to find a guy to be that nose tackle, that one technique, that run plugger. Hoyt and Ogunjobi really aren't that guy, either one of them. So, you know, whether they were suspended or not, I still think the Bills have a need for that particular player. I think you could wait until early in round 4 to grab that guy. There's a guy like Jamari Caldwell from Oregon that, you know, I know my buddy over in Buffalo, Josh Reed, is a big fan of, who might slide into the early parts of round 4. But, you know, when it comes to D-line, you know, there's so many guys that are going to go today, rounds 2 and 3, that are all going to be really, really solid players. So to fill that need, I don't think it makes as much. You could wait till tomorrow, but I think it makes much more sense to try and grab one of those guys today, whether it's an Alfred Collins or a Deion Walker from Kentucky, somebody like that who's probably going to go today, who easily you just plug him in at the one technique, you let him stop the run on first and second down for the next 4 years and, you know, go about your business.
Thad, what about another position of need? We kind of identified wide receiver as maybe not a primary position of need, but certainly somewhere they would like to add, and they took plenty of top 30 visits with some of these prospects that will be still available to them as they're selecting tonight.
Oh, absolutely. I think receiver is not necessarily at the top of the list, but high on the list. And it wouldn't. If it were me, I would try and go D-tackle, edge rusher first, and then fill receiver. And you can do all three of those today if you trade back up, you know, towards the end of the day. But if you want to rearrange that in a different order, there's a good argument for it. You know, again, you know, who might be available? Does Jalen Higgins, the Iowa State, the big, tall 6'4 guy, does he fall today? You know, or do you want to sit around and, you know, maybe try and grab a Jack Besh or a Kyle Williams, who could be around late in round 3. You know, I think the Bills are in a good position to where they don't have to force anything. They can kind of see how is this going to play out, what's going to be available, who might slide, you know. And then you have, when you see an opportunity, again, you have the picks to pounce and go take care of whatever you got to take care of.
Yeah, the one position that I'm not sure if the Bills address this in round 2 or if they say we're kind of good, and it seems like there are many different opinions on that, the safety position, because in round 2 you still have Xavier Watts, you have Eamon Worry from South Carolina. I don't know if they'll be there at 56, but my question is, what do the Bills have right now? What is your opinion? Because my opinion, Thad, is I like Taylor Rapp, but he's not out there all the time, and Cole Bishop, you hope would develop in that, but if he didn't, it'd be nice to have another plan. Your thoughts on how the Bills might attack the safety position in this draft?
I'm with you on safety, or in terms of assessing what the Bills currently have. You know, Taylor Rapp is probably, I don't want to say he's a borderline starter. He's probably a low-level starter in the NFL. And Cole Bishop, as much as we've seen good stuff, is a hope at this point. So these two guys are not an assurance, but to take a second-round pick from last year and then stack a second-round pick on top of that, along with a guy that you've got a multi-year signed contract to, when you do have other, you know, more pressing needs, certainly a defensive tackle, and I think edge rush and receiver we'd probably rank above safety. I don't know if you want to burn one of those high assets. All that said, man, Xavier Watts in a Bills uniform feels like one of the best ideas you can come up with. This guy is a natural playmaker. You let Sean McDermott coach him up with some of the fundamentals, and then just have him go out there and do his thing. You know, find the ball. You know, Max Harrison talked about, I'm going to get the ball back to Josh Allen, which is great and all. But if there's a guy in this draft who the Bills might have a shot at, who legitimately can say that, and you're like, okay, I believe you, is Xavier Watts. So, you know, as much as I want to go, you know, ideally different positions with the next couple picks, boy, Xavier Watts would be too tantalizing if it were me to pass up.
Fab Brown, News 8 Sports Director, joining us in the sports bar. We're talking NFL Draft and Buffalo Bills here on The Fan Rochester. Thad, the thing we heard going into the draft was that this is a very, very deep class at running back. Now, we assume James Cook is going to be on this roster in 2025, but his future beyond that with the Bills is cloudy at best. Do you think the Bills, later this weekend, take a swing at this deep running back class?
I mean, you can always do it once you get to round 5 and 6 because, you know, those guys who are drafted are special teams players anyway. I don't care what the two letters are next to their name on the screen are. That being said, you know, this is a team that generally doesn't carry four running backs unless that fourth running back is primarily a special teamer, a la Tywan Jones. So if you're going to draft a running back who you want to use as a running back, then you got to trade somebody. And it's not going to be Ty Johnson because Ty Johnson's your glue guy. He's your best pass blocker when it comes to a running back. He's already proved himself as a receiver. He's not going anywhere. So the only reason you draft a running back is either A, you're going to trade James Cook now and avoid the entire contract headache, or B, you want to cut bait with Ray Davis early for some reason. And I don't think B is likely because I thought what we saw from Ray Davis last year was pretty encouraging. So unless the Bills are just like, there's no way we're signing James Cook, we're better off trying to get some sort of day three asset for him, because I don't think you're going to get a second or a third round pick for an unhappy running back going into the last year of his contract, and then you want to roll with who you draft, that to me is the only path. And you can make the argument for it based on what you guys just said, which is this is a good class. You know, this is it's very possible the Bills might say, okay, we're not signing James Cook. Then the question becomes, do we want to draft the running back now or next year? And most likely, the running backs available now are going to be better than next year. I don't know anything about the 2026 running back class, but I know this class is good. So there's a path for it, but I would be pretty surprised.
Yeah, Thad, we haven't talked about James Cook and how this would look if it was, all right, this is going to be the last dance, and maybe this is a scenario like, James, we're going to let you earn the right to go into free agency here. We won't tag you. That could be a likely outcome. But my question is this, like last year, it worked, the three of them. They had a different kind of skill set. You had the three. I question why Cook wasn't out there the final drive, but I understand why. But would it work if James Cook is, you know, concerned, or would he be concerned about compiling stats? Your thoughts on how that, you know, a one-year fix there, if you will, if James Cook is going to be, you know, the last dance here?
Oh, you're trying to say, like, if it's obvious to James Cook that this is a contract year, how does he react? Is that kind of what you're asking?
Yeah, I mean, would James Cook be okay ceding touches like he did last year to Ray Davis and Ty Johnson? Would he be kind of a, you know, a good teammate and not complain about that?
I think he probably would, but would he? I think he would be less happy. I don't know how you wouldn't be. You know, if you don't have a long term contract, and the thing about this for a running back, because people on social media have been like, oh, look, Greg Rousseau and Christian Benford and, you know, Terrell Bernard didn't complain. They got their contract. Well, it's easier for them because they can take at or below market deals and they're still making $80 million. An at or below market deal for James Cook is like half of that, you know? And all of those guys have a decent chance to have a second bite of the apple. This might be James Cook's only opportunity to sign a big contract. So I don't necessarily blame him for wanting to push and really play the contract game. And if the Bills are going to go into this season without a deal And with Cook, you know, really kind of feeling like he's in a contract year, you know, I think there will be some friction. Now, will it be a thing that, like, ruins the offense and causes the problems and he's complaining every week? I don't think so, because that's not how guys on his team are built. That's not how the locker room is built, all that stuff. But yeah, he's a human being, you know, with desires like anybody else. And you know, I think there will be at least more of an issue.
Thad, I wanted to get your take on just what else we saw last night and heading into tonight, specifically the Browns, who I think are interesting, trading out of two, giving up on Travis Hunter to the Jags, acquiring another first-round pick in 2026, but on the clock tonight where Shedeur Sanders still waits.
By the way, you started asking that question. My immediate thought was, they better not bring up another team, because the only team I want to talk about is the Browns and what happened at the top of that draft last night. And let me tell you, like, for the next 365 days, I feel terrible for Browns fans, because you all are going to have to eat the fact that you passed on a guy who a lot of people think isn't just the best player in this draft in Travis Hunter, but maybe in, like, the next 10 drafts, with all that he can do both sides of the ball. With the path being, the idea being from the Browns' point of view, I think, that you're trying to stockpile and go get a quarterback next year when the quarterback draft is better. And I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, do you want to argue that Mason Graham and a franchise quarterback next year is better than Travis Hunter? I think it's a good debate, but I get the thought. The problem is for Browns fans is that you're not going to realize the fruit of that plan until this time next year at earliest. So it's going to be a long year. But I think, you know, you go back to Shedeur Sanders, there's no way the Browns are taking him. Not in round two, at least. Maybe if he falls to, like, pick 9 or something. No, there's no way. Because you've set yourself up to draft the quarterback next year. Why are you going to, you know, interrupt that or change path with Sanders unless you really love him? And if you really love him, why didn't you take him at pick 5? Why did you let him? Because the Steelers could have taken him last night. 17 teams could have traded up in the end of round one to take him last night. You're not trading out a 5. You're not taking a defensive tackle at 5 if you really love that quarterback. And if you really love that quarterback, you ain't taking him today.
It's so interesting. So where do you think Sanders goes? And if it's not the Browns with the first pick in the second round, I mean, you have the Saints sitting there at pick 40. But I would put the Saints in the same boat as the Browns, in that if you're the Saints, you have no benefit of winning this year. You don't have a quarterback. You drafted an offensive lineman, which will help you in the future. And next year, the prize at the end of the rainbow is a homecoming with Arch Manning going back to the Big Easy.
The Raiders are a team I'm looking at still. And then after that, if it's not the Raiders, I think Sanders is going to go to a team that just is going to take him as, like, wow, this guy is so high on our board. How can we possibly not draft him here? And it won't matter who the quarterback is on that team for the most part. You know, there are some like middling starters, like, you know, like Seattle won't, because you got Sam Darnold there. And if you put Sanders on that team, you know, does that become a headache? Maybe they will. But I think he's going to go to a team that just sees him as a depreciating asset that you're going to, like, say, look, we're just, we feel ridiculous not taking him here, and we're going to pick him. And it won't be a team that's like, this is our guy, this is our future, we're going to build around him. This is someone that's going to put him on the roster and be like, hey, if he develops, great. You know, we'll make him an elite backup, or we'll trade him. Or maybe he does, you know, somehow, if he absolutely hits, surprises us and replaces the guy we currently plan on starting. But I don't think there's a team that's going to draft him the way the Giants took Jackson Dart. Like, this is our future. Or the way, obviously, the Titans took Cam Ward. You know, I think, you know, those opportunities outside of the Raiders are gone. I will say, I wouldn't be stunned if the Jets grabbed them, because they're a team that doesn't really have a quarterback that you can say is a long-term option. You know, they're like, yeah, maybe we're going to give Justin Fields a shot and see. So it wouldn't stun me if they grabbed him. But, again, I'm going to stick with what I said before. I think it's going to be some random team that is just like, he's too good to pass up here.
Thad, last one for me, and it'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about a big story going on here in town. The Amerks, it's game one tonight. Thad, I don't like the best of 5 just by the nature of hockey. You get a bounce here, a bounce there, and all of a sudden, ooh, this is, you're in trouble. But with that being said, what's a realistic expectation? Because this roster is, in my opinion, loaded.
Oh, yeah. The realistic expectation is another long battle with Hershey in the conference final. That's 100% realistic, you know. And I know the Amerks are not a first-place team, and I know they've got Laval is going to be a pain in the neck. And, I mean, Syracuse is going to be a pain in the neck, because they've been a pain in the neck the last 2 years. And I wouldn't be stunned at all if we're talking about a Game 5 in 2 weeks, you know, back in Rochester in this series. And it's the same discussion with the Amherst we've had forever. The roster is ridiculously talented. Devin Levi is awesome. Yuri Kulik doesn't belong in this league. There's two or three other scorers that are you know, just – Roseanne's awesome. Oxlin's great. That, you know, guys that can carry offenses by themselves. But it's going to come down to, can the Amherst bunch of 25-year-olds handle, you know, the 28 and 30-year-olds they're going to face in the playoffs, not only in this series, but certainly further down the road. They're capable of it. I mean, we saw enough in each of the last two playoff runs, even the one last year that only went one series, to show you this is a team that can get in the playoffs. And a lot of these guys, a lot of those names I just mentioned, they're not like in their eighth playoff game or their first playoff run. These are guys that have done this a couple years in a row. So I'm really excited about this. I would not be stunned if we're talking about Amherst hockey in June this year. And look, Hershey is Hershey. You know, they're the Kansas City Chiefs of the AHL, and that even feels like an understatement for them. So, you know, look, there might be a stopper for the Amherst just because of the way these teams are built in the conference final. But getting to that final and winning a couple games and making it a legit series isn't just a hope or a goal. That, to me, is 100%, like you said, realistic.
Thad, what are you working on as far as coverage tonight at News 8 that we can check out?
Oh, Rachel Leibert's going to be live from Blue Cross Arena in like 15 minutes for the first of our three or four reports this afternoon. I'll have analysis on rosterfirst.com, all my social media. I'm Thad Brown 7 on everything, talking about whoever the Bills pick today. Plus, we'll have a recap of the Amherst game tonight at 11. So it is not your run-of-the-mill Friday in Rochester. It's going to be a busy day.
Yeah, hopefully it's going to be a busy spring here too. Thad, appreciate the time on a busy day. Thanks so much.
Good talking, guys.
You got it. There's Thad Brown, News 8 Sports Director. Good with his time joining us here, getting his thoughts on the NFL draft. The Buffalo Bills with two picks right now in the second round. And as we're sitting here talking about Shador and where he may or may not end up, to hear Thad say, I don't see the Browns taking Shador Sanders.
Wow.
That's bold. And now I'm looking. I'm looking at round two, and I'm looking at how it all shakes out.
Yeah. Like, can we explore that? Because why wouldn't you take Shador Sanders if you don't have a quarterback? Because do we believe you have to give a quarterback more than 1 year? Is 1 year enough? Are 17 games enough to decide, okay, this is our guy?
The Browns can't possibly go into the season saying, no, we're good with Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco, right?
Right. Or they're like, oh, okay, can you imagine if they took Milroe in the third round? Like, for that matter, the hell is Steelers doing? Yes, you got to tackle. Yeah. That's like to me, Sanders is screaming. And if the Browns are like, no, Shador's not our guy, wouldn't there be a team that wants to trade up to 33?
I think there's a team in the second round that if he falls to them at this position, they're the team that Thad is describing. The team that looks in and says, too good to pass up.
I have a team in mind, too.
Okay. Let's think about this.
We haven't talked about this.
We'll come back.
I'm going to guarantee that it's going to be the same, though.
It might be, but we'll talk about it. We have that threw out a couple of teams. We threw out a couple of teams that are on the board tonight. We'll dissect all of that. We'll try to dissect where we believe Shador Sanders could actually land if he is indeed selected tonight in the second round of the NFL draft. We also have time for your calls at 866-4FAN, 866-4326, and Alex Brasky of Bill's Digest stopping by next hour as well.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.